shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Now, at this very hour, or very shortly this morning, a big event is happening.
Turns out the actress who portrayed the Down syndrome character actually has Down syndrome.
She's in the airplane. It's, you know, rolling, it's on the tarmac.
I would be open to a telephone apology from Tiger.
I was a sucker.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
Well, you might have been born of a whore, but...
I was a sucker.
All right, 877-876, the world-famous 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is the bitch. And, brother, where we take you through the looking glass of media, of news. We go right through Alice in Wonderland's you-know-what. And
come out the other side.
Yes, and come out the other side. And anyway, bring you a look at talk radio like you ain't never seen before. Nonetheless, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com. And you cannot really enjoy this program without also watching it. You can watch it on our website. There are a lot of radio shows that have webcams. Ours is the only one that actually uses it to the extent of you are watching something happening. You're watching a performance, so... I don't know how you spend your web money. A month with us is $6.95, and you get streaming audio, streaming video. You have years and years and years and years of an audio archive. You also have a lot of other little goodies, including TV pilots we've been involved in and television interviews that we've done and the Aspen Comedy Festival roundtable that I was involved in with Stephen Colbert back before anybody knew who he was, Drew Carey back after everyone found out, much to their regret, who he was, Gary Trudeau, who's a very nice guy, me, and I'm a very nice guy, and Mike McCarthy, he's a very nice guy.
Who's he?
He's a very nice guy. All right, 877-876-PHIL, so go over to our website. All right, coming up, those evil warmongering Bush administration lawyers were cleared of misconduct in authorizing waterboarding. How about them apples, huh? Oh, and speaking of them apples, Apple is banning sexual iPhone apps. 877-876-PHIL. We also have a story of the FBI probing a Pennsylvania school webcam spy case. Now, the kids in the school were given laptops, which came with webcams, and guess what? Somebody at the school was looking at them. They were looking at the kids. That's a little creepy. You know, just, I'm one of the last remaining people in this country that has sympathy for teachers and schools. I'm one of the last remaining person peoples.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm one of the last remaining people who, you know, actually would stand on the side of teachers and schools. But you guys are making it hard for me, and I'll have to hold it against you. The fact that every time I turn around, there's something weird going on. Because I personally, and this is just Phil Hendry, when it comes to a dispute between a school and parents, as much as I like to believe the parents are, you know, they really got their stuff together and they know what they're talking about. And I'm sorry, but I just, I'm always disappointed. And, you know, we'll talk about that. All right. So the first thing, though, is this Justice Department clearing the Bush interrogation lawyers of misconduct. Now, let's just stop here. Not that anybody notices. And one of the great things for progressives, probably one of the most, I would say, frankly, one of the great life-saving realities for progressives is that nobody really remembers all the stuff that they were squealing about. No one really remembers all of the things that they were chirping about way back in the days when Bush was the president. Because if they did, people would turn around on them and look at them and say, what the hell are you still doing here? Why don't you take the Daily Kos and move on, put one in one hand and the other in the other hand, and see which one wipes better, okay? Otherwise, don't darken our sheets again. Get out of here.
And the Bush administration was breaking the law, and they were breaking the laws and everything.
Breaking the law. So, you know, then the real far-left progressives, as soon as Obama got in to be... And I said this, I'm telling you right now, I don't give a damn if people think, you know, I'm blowing my own horn, man, because wouldn't you blow your own horn if you could?
Yeah.
All right. So I remember saying, Obama is going to piss off far more Democrats than he does Republicans. Obama is going to be a real eye-opener for some of these progressives. Man, they aren't going to know whether to flip or fall in it, man, and whether to towel off afterwards. And guess what? That's exactly what he's done. Now, this Justice Department under Obama has decided that they're not going to charge any Bush administration attorneys for anything. You want to know why? Because this is a Justice Department that has lawyers, just like the Bush, you know, Justice Department did, and they take a look at the facts, and they surmise what the evidence may or may not be, and they proceed. And under Eric Holder, they have said, no, we're not going to prosecute any Bush administration. Well, why not? They were what? Yeah, but when they sanctioned, here I can read to you some of the rationale. They said they showed poor judgment, but did not commit professional misconduct when they authorized CIA interrogators to use waterboarding and other harsh tactics at the height of the U.S. war on terrorism. The very fact that the Bush administration had lawyers that were looking at these things, you'd think would have convinced some people that there was a due diligence going on, but that didn't quite register with a lot of these clowns. It's like that guy from the Daily Coast we had on, that Marcus, nice guy. But when I asked him, tell me what laws were broken now by the Bush administration, it took him about 5 minutes to come up with one. And it had to do with Scooter Libby lying to the FBI about something that had nothing to do with anything. Well, outing Valerie Plame? No, he didn't out Valerie Plame. That guy Armitage outed Valerie Plame. The guy that put it in the column, the late, great Richard Robert Novak, he's the guy that said that it was Armitage. He ought to know because he's the guy who got the information first. And it doesn't matter. Don't let the facts confuse you, you know, whatever you do. Well, we know that it was probably Carl Rowe. No, the guy who wrote the column said it was Armitage. Well, he's a liar, too. I mean, I never in my life, one of the most amazing things, I was talking to one of these Joe Stack dumbasses today, right? Now, you see, when you're wrong, what you do today is you don't say, geez, I was wrong. You say, no, I'm not wrong. You're wrong for bringing up the fact that I'm wrong. I mean, that's really how it goes. For instance, I said to somebody today, I said, you know, that guy Stack, you know, he burned his own house down. He left his wife and his kid homeless, to which this individual replied, and I swear to God, not only did this individual reply this way, but this individual thought that it made perfect sense and didn't understand why I didn't get it. I said, that guy Stack burned his house down and he left his wife and kid homeless. And the person said to me, yeah, and watch, the government won't help out that wife and kid. And Joe will be proved right again.
That's scary.
Scary?
Yeah, man, that don't make sense at all. That's scary. You see, was it a she?
Did I say it was a she?
Well, that's the only people you like to talk to.
Well, you get out of here. It was a he, if you gotta know. Yeah. And so watch, the government won't help out Joe Stack's wife and kid, and Joe will be proved right again. Now, that's a person that is contorting every square inch of themselves to try to fit into a size 4 when they're a size 12, you know? I mean, their head just is too fat for that hat, man. But they're going to try. We're living in the day and age where nobody's wrong. We're living in the day and age where everybody's right. We're not living in a day and age people want truth. People want to be right. Do you know the difference between that?
What do you mean?
What's the difference, Bud, between being right and knowing the truth?
Well, there ain't no difference.
Yeah, there ain't. If you're right, you know the truth.
No. That's not the case at all. It's not the case at all. Okay? Right means winning the argument, maybe winning the battle, but ultimately you're losing the war of truth.
I don't get it.
I'll give an example. Like if I were to say to you, who is the number one home run hitter of all time, what would you say?
That's Mark McGwire.
Bullcrap. It ain't Mark McGwire. It's Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Barry Bonds.
No, Mark McGwire.
All right, well, maybe you convinced us that it's Mark McGwire, so you'd win the argument, you'd be right, but you wouldn't know the truth, would you?
No, I wouldn't be right. I'd be wrong.
And that wouldn't be the truth.
Why don't you guys get out of here, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Nonetheless, an initial review by the Justice Department's Internal Affairs Unit found that former government lawyers Jay Bybee and John Yoo had committed professional misconduct, a conclusion that could have cost them their law licenses, but underscoring just how controversial and legally thorny the memos have become, the Justice Department's top career lawyer reviewed the matter and disagreed. Assistant Deputy Attorney General David Margolis said the decision should not be viewed as an endorsement of the legal work that underlies those memoranda. Margolis, the top non-political Justice Department lawyer and a veteran of several administrations, called the legal memos flawed and said that at every opportunity they gave interrogators as much leeway as possible under U.S. torture laws. But, he said they were not reckless and did not knowingly give incorrect advice, which is the standard for misconduct. So what you have here is a lawyer named Margolis and a couple of lawyers named Bybee and you, two of them working for Bush, one working for Obama. The one working for Obama has an opinion. And to reinforce his opinion, we know that he is the, quote, top non-political Justice Department lawyer and a veteran of several administrations. That is written by the AP, so the AP is kind of pushing his credentials. Fine, push the credentials. I don't give a damn. I mean, what else are they doing for a living over there at AP, right? And they're saying, so here's his credentials. So he is qualified to stand in judgment of these two. And nevertheless, it will be that Justice Department, Obama's, that'll make the decision. But this guy is saying that while in my opinion, what these guys did was flawed, in my opinion, what these guys did was not a correct reading of the law. Nonetheless, they were not knowingly reckless. They were not giving out advice that they knew was borderline or illegal. These men were working. They were working to the best of their ability within the confines of law. And so what he is saying there is, I could throw the book at these guys. I could issue an opinion saying these guys suck. These cats broke the law. These guys ought to be burned at the stake. But you want to know something? I can't really in good conscience do that. If I did, it would be seen as purely political. It would be a witch hunt. This country, you know, President Obama said that, look, if you guys don't have any evidence, man, I don't want to see this. And I don't have any evidence. Not any real evidence that's going to be pushed through at the end of the day to a conviction. That's what happened. So Obama telling Holder basically the following: unless you guys got evidence that's going to be seen in a court of law as enough to convict people of serious crimes here, take this stuff and wipe with it, okay? I don't want to see this stuff. And Holder said, Jawohl, mein Hauptmann, and he went out and he did that. And that's what you should do. And so the progressives, like probably Oberfuhrer over there at MSNBC and all those other lightweights, they're probably crying in their... I'd love to hear what they got to say. And more, Rachel, if you're listening, you know, you are fantastic on... Seriously, you're fantastic on television. But you're so intent on being a progressive that your thinking, your logic, the way you draw conclusions, it's getting weaker and weaker as the weeks go by. Although you have gained a fan in a couple of people I know, one of whom is female, who happens to be straight, but still wants to dress just like you. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And
I like flavored dips.
All right. We'll be right back on our world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of other things, including that FBI... You like flavored dips.
I do.
That FBI probing Pennsylvania school webcam spy case.
Phil Hendry.
I hate Barack Obama.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Just a very quick mention. I've been cigarette-free. How long, bud?
Almost 2 months. That's bitching.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert. Almost 2 months. No smokes. No cigarettes. Those of you who watch the webcam, you're probably shocked. You know, this webcam is starting to... This camera, what the hell is the problem with the camera? You get up there?
I don't know. It's falling and everything.
Fix it, will you, man? All right. So, no cigs now for 2 months. Do I miss them? Yeah. On occasion, but not every day. Do I feel better? Not so as you'd notice. You know, one of the things about cigarettes, as you know, it is a physical addiction. But one of the things that I did say to everybody that I know, and even some people that I've just met, and maybe even some people that I don't know, like I'm going to say to some of you guys that perhaps we haven't had the pleasure. I ain't never, and I'm telling you right now, you can take this to the bank. Take this.
It's all I flavored dip.
And take this. I'm never going to become... What the hell is this? Is this Matthew McConaughey looking like some kind of a weird ass?
No, that's Joshua McCarroll.
Oh, okay. Nonetheless, I ain't never going to become a reformed smoker. What do I mean by that? I am not going to become one of those people that when I smoked, I wanted to strangle because they were rude, ignorant. Frankly, they were reckless. You don't walk up to someone you don't know and make comments about their personal habits. You just don't do it. It's not a safe thing to do. I'm not saying that I would ever do anything. I'm a peace-loving guy. But can you imagine walking up to the wrong guy and saying, "Why don't you put your cigarette up, man?" Because there are people out there. They may be rare. And this is just a word to the wise. There are people out there that if you walk up to them and you say, "Why don't you put your cigarette out?" Before you know it, you've got a salad fork sticking out of your thorax. They just, they'll whip out that nice handy utility knife and wham, before you know it, man. And they're off the bus and they're down the street and nobody knew what hit them. Nobody knew what hit you. That's the reality of life. Don't ask me why. I have no explanation. The world is a jungle, which means it has animals in it. It has predators in it, but it also has nice, beautiful flowers and lagoons. See, the jungle is a beautiful place as well as a dangerous place. That's life. Life is a jungle, so it's a beautiful place, it's a dangerous place. Sometimes there's beautiful lagoons and beautiful flowers and a nice walk and the sun is out and the birds are singing. And sometimes there are predators and there are snakes and there are lions and there's no food and there's a stampede, right? You got to know where the hell you are, right? So people that don't smoke and go up to perfect strangers and say, "Put it out." Now they may think they know what they're dealing with, maybe they don't. But I'm never going to become one of those people. I'm never going to become someone who, as I've seen so many times, this is really, it's incredible. They walk by someone smoking, they put their hands over their face like, ew, or they wave obnoxiously. Now, I quit smoking because I had pneumonia, not because some jackass waved his hand in front of his face. I quit smoking because I feared for my personal health as I lay in a hospital bed, sicker than I'd ever been in my life. That's why I quit smoking. Not because some stupid old bitch, excuse my language, but this has happened, put her hands over her face and looked at me like, in a rude display of public behavior. I quit smoking because I use my voice for a living. And it was a stupid and ignorant thing to smoke. But I didn't quit smoking because someone walked up to me one day, as they have, and said, "Why don't you quit smoking? Because you know it really, and it pulls the air, and it gave me read me the riot act, and I wouldn't know these people from Adam. I mean, I just met them, you know, like these two punk kids. You know, I was at a football game, two guys at 15. Hey, man, you shouldn't smoke. And I said to them, "You two guys probably shouldn't be alive. How do you feel about that?" I didn't say anything, actually. I was thinking of some comebacks. I couldn't think of anything. I just stood there like a sheepish, you know, like a kid, you know, like I was younger than them. I'm sorry. But I quit smoking because of all the aforementioned things. Never once did I ever consider quitting when some stupid bastard waved his hand in front of his face, put his hands over his mouth, or came up to me and said this or that or something else, or my second hand smoked this or my second hand smoked that. You know, I could care less. In fact, I hope my secondhand smoke killed some of these people. If you want to know my honest opinion, for all the good they're doing in the world. Nonetheless, there will be no more secondhand smoke from Phil Hendry. I quit 8 weeks, and I shouldn't say there will be no more because you know how it is. It is a physical addiction. It's a drug addiction, and it is a very, very difficult thing. And I got to tell you something. Everything just sort of fell in place for me. I got sick near the first of the year, so it was almost like it was a... what do you call it? New Year's resolution, right, Robert?
Yeah, like you quit smoking on the first, but you quit on like Christmas or something.
Right, I quit a week before.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. So that's and the other thing is, I'm around people that smoke all the time. My friends smoke. You know, people I know that smoke, I haven't told any of them to put it out. I don't care. It doesn't bother. I don't even notice it. It doesn't bother me. And I recognize when you want to smoke, Jack, you got to smoke. And I'm just never going to be one of those people that says, you know, if you had any willpower, I'll never forget the guy. He was the father of a girlfriend of mine. It's a matter of character. I could have thrown this guy off the roof of the building we were standing on at the moment. He's not around anymore. I don't want to tell you exactly how that happened, but it wasn't that weekend. Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Jesus, was he gay? Well, of course. Elton John said so, and he ought to know. That's the joke.
Phil Henry.
We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
1-800-449-877-876-PHIL. Every now and again, I click into the old phone number.
Yeah, well, that's understandable considering the fact you had pneumonia and no oxygen.
Yeah, do you ever think of brain damage?
Do I ever think I have brain damage?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not from the pneumonia.
No, really, man. Did they get enough?
Yeah, because a lot of the times it's cut off and everything.
Oh, really? Is that right, bud? You know, you wouldn't know any of this stuff if I didn't tell you about it. Yeah, I got enough oxygen to the brain, okay?
Yeah, because you said the alarm was going off. What about that?
Yeah, speak on that.
Hey, why don't you guys bug off, okay?
You should tell people.
They got you attached to a thing.
What thing? Come on, be specific.
Yeah, here's the microphone.
I got the microphone. Let's stick it in my face. They got a thing that they snap it onto your finger, literally. It's a thing that snaps onto your finger, right? And it tells them how much oxygen you're getting. And the first 3 days I was in the hospital, if it goes below 90%, meaning your lungs have a capacity and you're getting 90% or less of the capacity that it can take in, the alarm goes off. It's going beep, 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 like that. And I mean, the first 3 days I was in there, I'd be going along, sitting there watching TV or even sleeping, and I'd hear, beep, 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 beep. Man, I was in bad shape, you know.
Then the doctor told you to take deep breaths.
Yeah, why didn't you think of that?
What do you mean, why didn't I think of that?
All you had to do was take a deep breath to get the air in.
No, that's not all I had to do. Yeah, the doctor told me to take a deep, what are you guys saying?
If you think about taking a deep breath, man, you get more oxygen in there.
Well, guess what, man? I couldn't take a deep breath because it hurt too much.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing, wasn't it? You got to take a deep breath.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. What do you mean, take a deep breath? Dude, my lungs were so full of this crap, this pneumonia, I couldn't take a deep breath. Every time I took a deep breath, I coughed my guts up, okay?
Yeah, but if you had been able to.
Are you an idiot or something? You can't take a deep breath when you got pneumonia. You can't go like that, all right? So I couldn't do it. Every time I did, I was coughing until I was puking. Every time I got up and walked 4 feet, I'm like, I swear to God, it was like I'd never been that sick. I couldn't walk 3 feet without hacking my guts up like I just run the 100. So finally, you know, this beep, 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 beep. Now 3-4 days, now finally it's starting to creep up there, you know. And this nurse comes in and she goes, give this guy more oxygen. So she began taking her clothes off. I'm kidding.
I knew you'd seen it. That's pretty good, man.
I'm kidding around. No, she turned the thing up and everything. All right, let me get into something, some other kind of probe, okay? This is the official FBI probe of a Pennsylvania school's webcam spy case, if you're ready for this. The FBI is investigating a Pennsylvania school district accused of secretly activating webcams inside students' homes. This is according to a law enforcement official with knowledge of the case telling the Associated Press. The FBI will explore whether Lower Marion School District officials broke any federal wiretap or computer intrusion laws, according to this law enforcement official. How could this happen? What caused this to come about? Well, days after a student filed suit over the practice, Lower Marion officials acknowledged on Friday, today, or that would have been an hour ago today, that they remotely activated webcams 42 times in the past 14 months, but only to find missing student laptops. That's what they say. They insist they never did so to spy on students, as the student's family claimed in the federal lawsuit. This is going to be a very, very difficult thing for you people to prove. Families were not informed of the possibility. See, I shouldn't say it'll be difficult. They may actually be able to prove it if you can prove how much time these web laptop, these laptop computer cameras were on. But even that, what are you doing giving out computers with webcams on them will be the question. It's not how much time you had this thing turned on. It was why that thing was on that computer in the first place. And why did you say you let the kids take them home? Well, we wanted the kids to do their school. Yeah, sure. Sure you did. You'd flip on that little spy cam to see if somebody was taking their panties off, and if they weren't, then you'd turn it off. How dare you? Hey, how dare you, man? You're the one with handing out the cameras with the webcams. Oh, they're going to be in trouble. Did I say that it won't be difficult to prove? Did I say that they were going to get off easy?
Yeah.
They're in deep trouble. Anyway, families were not informed of the possibility the webcams might be activated in their homes without their permission in the paperwork students sign when they get the computers. Families were not informed. The district has suspended the practice amid the lawsuit and the accompanying uproar from students, according to the community and privacy advocates. Community and privacy advocates. So some of them are people with real interest in the case, and others are pains in the ass. That go from town to town looking for trouble like this. District officials hired outside counsel to review the past webcam activations and advise the district on related issues. Advise the district on what they can do to keep the damages in this thing under a billion. That's what they're going to advise the district on. Remote activation software can be used to capture keystrokes, send commands over the internet, or turn computers into listening devices by turning on built-in microphones. People often use it for legitimate purposes, to access computers from remote locations, for example. But hackers can use it to steal passwords and spouses to track the whereabouts of partners or lovers. The FBI opened its investigation after news of the suit broke on Thursday, the law enforcement official said. Montgomery County District Attorney Reese Vitra Furman is going to investigate possibly. That's good for you there, Reese. Lower Marion is an affluent district in Philadelphia's suburbs. They issued Apple laptops to all 2,300 students at its two high schools. That's a pretty penny.
Yeah, but the stuff to get off the webcam, they can sell for double the money.
Yeah, if you think about that.
Are you out of your mind? Do you think that that's what they're going to do, man? That could be caught dead to rights with that.
They can make a pretty penny.
You know, bud, you're the kind of jackass that would do that. You know that?
What?
You're the kind of guy that would hand a student a laptop computer, activate the webcam, take pictures of somebody taking their clothes off, print them off, sell them on the internet, and figure you're going to get away with it.
What an idiot, man.
Yeah, well, you thought it was a good idea.
You know, you really are, man. So anyway, they issue 2,300 laptops to the students. Only two employees in the technology department were authorized to activate the cameras and only to locate missing laptops. Only two, huh? The remote activations captured images but never recorded sound. No one had complained before Harrington High School student Blake Robbins and his parents, Michael and Holly Robbins, filed their suit. Now, according to the suit, Harrington Vice Principal Lindy Matzkin told Blake on November the 11th that the school thought he was engaged in improper behavior in his home. She allegedly cited as evidence a photograph embedded in his school-issued laptop. So Lindy Matzko, the vice principal, the pain in the ass, walks up to a student. Maybe she's trying to push her weight around. Maybe she's trying to make principal, I don't know. She says, you know, Blake. And what she found out was that young Blake went to his parents and he said, guess what, Mom and Dad? I think we should sue. And his father burped, crushed the Budweiser can, looked up at his son and said, well, what do you got, son? And he said, well, look, Dad, here's the information. And meanwhile, the mother leaned in and said, do you guys want goulash? And that's how it started.
Really?
What do you mean, really? So then they said,
you have been tweeting me.
No, what happened was the suit does not say if the laptop had been reported stolen, and Young said the litigation prevents him from disclosing the fact. He said the district never violated its policy of only using the remote activation software to find missing laptops. Infer what you want, he said. Well, what was this Lindy Matzko telling this Blake kid about the school saying he was engaged in improper behavior in the home? According to this lawsuit, that's what she said. Now, the district is going to deny that because, you know, you can put anything you want into a lawsuit. You can say anything you want in a lawsuit. It doesn't mean it's true. You know, I've seen people all walks of life, and they say, oh, my God, they're ready to slit their wrists because someone's suing them. And in the lawsuit, they say that they're the devil incarnate, that they their mother wears army boots, that they, you know, they got pimples on their ass. I mean, all kinds. And they're ready to just tear their hair out and commit suicide. How could they do this? And they say to them, this is what you do. This is what people do in lawsuits. The judge is not that stupid. The attorneys are not that stupid. And the jury will not be that stupid. You can put anything you want into a lawsuit. See, you know, so many people don't know how the game's played, right? So they go ape. Like this guy, Joe Stack. Here's a dumbass that admits, right off the bat, he tried to game the system. He was trying to get the same deal for himself and other businessmen that religious institutions had in terms of tax codes. Well, guess what? He wasn't able to convince the federal government, the IRS, possibly because it was a constitutional issue, to let them have the same breaks that the Catholic Church had or any other religious institution, right? Even though they spent a lot of money, even though they went out of their way to try to prove it, even though they felt that they, you know, if you spend enough money and you work this hard, well, by God, you should win. Well, no, that's not how life goes, Joe. That's not how life goes. You can spend $18 million, man. You can get into a Ubangi costume. You can do a war dance. You can hire witch doctors. You can do anything you want. It doesn't mean you're going to win. But a guy like Joe Stack, he doesn't understand that. He thinks that if you work this hard and you spend this much money, then you must have the outcome that you want. No. But you ain't going to tell him that. Right? So then he goes along and he tries to start a business, and the stupid bastard comes to California, and guess what? A recession hits in the early 90s. And they close down some military bases in California. Now, you would think, knowing the mood of the country at the time, that we were coming out of a recession. The Cold War had ended. Hello. Closing a military base or two wouldn't be such a bad thing. It would save the government money. In point of fact, it was probably a very popular thing. I'd have to go back and check, but I'm willing to believe that closing a few military bases here and there, especially with the Cold War ending and with the recession that we've been going through, closing some military bases would be a smart thing. However, there will be people caught in the squeeze. This is what happens. This is life. This is what grown-ups deal with. But for Joe Stack, because he's not all that grown up, he got fired from his job. He happened to have a job that was related to the military at that time. He lost his job in the recession of the 90s, and now he got even more pissed off. Did Joe, like you or like me, say, wow, recession, stupid me, I was working for the military, okay. Well, looking down the road, I know the 90s are ahead, man, we may have some dot-com thing. And no, he got pissed off because, once again, life hadn't gone the way he thought it was supposed to go. Then came the 90s and the dot-com, the big dot-com blow-up. And Joe had a piece of that for a while. But guess what? Like most people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, that couldn't see the, you know, can't see the road 2 feet in front of them, here comes the dot-com bust, and Joe loses his bread. And then he gets pissed off about this. 9/11 happens. The federal government, along with the American people, we're reeling. We don't know what just hit us. We don't know whether to flip or fly in it, man. We don't know whether, you know, whether we're here, there, or wherever the hell we are. The airline industry is ready to go south. I mean, no one's flying. An entire industry is about to go belly up. Airlines about to go bankrupt. And that means jobs. And that means a lot of security. And, you know, New York City has been hit like we've never seen it hit before. Money, jobs, businesses closing, leaving the city. I want out. Goodbye. We had a problem. We had a situation. Money flew out of the federal budget surplus. And, of course, we're hearing history being rewritten all the time about that. What happened to the budget surplus, huh, Mr. Bush? Well, read a little history. You'll find out. Well, Joe, he didn't get it. He thought he was getting screwed yet again. How come they're giving money to the airlines? Why are they giving money to New York? Why don't they give me? So you see, Joe was, as I said to that caller, a narcissistic sociopath who only had really one concern, himself, his business, his life, his money. And, oh, yeah, if you read his little manifesto, you'll also find out something else that he sort of just glances over. And that is, then life went along, and I worked really hard, but I couldn't keep up with my expenses. Oh, really? Well, you couldn't keep up with your expenses. What are you talking about? Well, you know, he doesn't want to get into that one, does he? I'll tell you why he doesn't want to get into it. He was living beyond his means. He probably was dipping into the company's cash. He probably wasn't paying himself a salary. He probably was going to owe a hell of a lot of tax at the end of the year. This guy was a simpleton. And like all narcissists, because it isn't his problem, it isn't his fault, he didn't do it, he's getting angrier and angrier and angrier, and somebody's going to pay. Does he change his life? Does he change the way he looks at things? Does he take a look in the mirror and say, Jesus, are you ugly? We got to get a hairpiece or something. No, he doesn't do any of that stuff. He blames the world around him, and somebody's going to pay, and someone did. A Vietnam veteran by the name of Vernon Hunter. And this guy, Stack, is having his ass kissed on the internet. This guy's a murderer. He's a sociopath.
Was he dressed as a male?
No. All right, anyway, 877-876. That's all I have to say about that. Anyway, 877-876. Phil. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show.
So you're talking about Joe Stack?
Yes, Joe Stack, jackass.
Yeah, something like that.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Right. Time now for the stories we could get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dig this. Kit Kat takes on Japanese tastes. That's right. Nestle has given one of the most popular and long-established chocolate bars in the world a uniquely Japanese makeover. Kit Kat bars are now available in 19 new flavors that reflect specialties from regions across Japan, ranging from sweet potatoes from Okinawa to melons from Hokkaido, strawberries from Tochigi, green tea from Kyoto, and soy sauce from Tokyo. That's Kit Kat bars, flavored like soy sauce.
You gotta be putting me on.
Would I put you on, man? You don't even look like my hat. Launched late last year, Nestle said it hopes people will buy the lines, which are only available in Japan as souvenirs or as gifts. But eat them? Ha ha ha, said the CEO. No, he didn't say that. But the company's also teamed up with Japan Post to produce boxes that can be sent through the mail when 140-something or other yen stamp is attached and one side of the box has blank space for a message. In much the same way as people send postcards from a holiday destination, you can send boxes of post toasties. Boy, the Japanese, they're either the most creative people in the world or, man, they are. That A-bomb did have some residual effect. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You know what, let's get off the story. In West Warwick, Rhode Island, dozens of students from a Rhode Island high school who skipped classes for a free breakfast at Denny's got grand slammed with suspensions. That's right, officials at West Warwick High School tell the Providence Journal that 46 students went to Denny's in Warwick on February 9th to take advantage of a free grand slam breakfast. Assistant Principal Paul Santos got wind of the outing and drove to the restaurant to tell the students to go to school. Principal Karen Karen Tarasevich says students who immediately went back were dismissed with a suspension mark on their records. Those who didn't return got 2-day suspensions. And this made the newspaper in, where was it? In the Providence Journal.
Big news!
In West Warwick, Rhode Island, they suspend 40 kids and it's in the newspaper. I wish I lived in a town that was that peaceful and was that, you know what I'm saying, uneventful, that would make the paper in my town. In Newport Richey, Florida, Jesse McCabe was responsible for making bank deposits at work, but authorities say he never made it to the bank. McCabe, age 29, was working as a salesman for the phone provider Metro PCS in September when authorities discovered more than $18,000 socked away in his closet on Amulet Drive in Newport Richey. That represented 13 deposits he should have made between August 19th and September the 2nd. Now, despite his claim he never intended to steal the money and just hadn't made it to the bank yet, McCabe was arrested and charged with grand theft, a felony. This month, he pled no contest to a reduced charge of a petty theft, a misdemeanor. He was adjudicated guilty and sentenced a year of probation, 50 hours of community service, and a curfew. Brother, did you get off easy? Easy, man. In Johannesburg, a deaf South African cleaner besieged by begging relatives after a newspaper reported he'd scooped a 91 million rand, that would be $12 million lottery jackpot, was not the winner, the draw's organizer said on Tuesday. National Lottery spokeswoman Tembi Tulwana said the real winner of Friday's Powerball draw was an unnamed 43-year-old woman and not 52-year-old Standy Philander, a Cape Town hardware store cleaner reported to have carried off the record rollover prize. Tulwana, this is outrageous. Tulwana said Philander had bought after the draw a lottery ticket with the same numbers as the winning ticket, but he could not explain how the mix-up had escalated into the family being notified, I believe. Yes, the family, how the family being moved to a secret location for their own protection. We are confused as everybody else. You people in South Africa owe that guy a lot of money. Sue the hell out of him. Come to America and sue them. Freeze South Africa's assets. Yes! Yes! Yeah! What do I care? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Till tonight, or Monday night, Tuesday morning, good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.